Welcome to the Post-Narc Life Podcast. It's time to leave behind the narcissist narrative and build an amazing life that you love. You got through, but you're not done. We're going to build your next level of wealth, create healthy relationships, find deep self-connection to expand your unique impact on this world, and leave behind a legacy of love. I'm your host, Laura, by the way. I've been there. I get it. And I've got you. Let's go build your post-narc life. Hey, y'all, and welcome back to another episode of the Post-Narc Life Podcast. I'm so honored that you're here. I just can't say it enough. I think it's such a miracle that this is happening, that technology makes it so that I can broadcast my thoughts and insights and ideas and experience into the world, and that people like you can hear it. I have listeners from all over the world listening to this podcast. It's just truly remarkable, and I feel so just in awe of this whole process. So thank you for allowing me to be part of your journey. Today is a very special episode. We're going to talk about self-connection, deep self-connection. We talk about it a lot in the introduction to the podcast. Every podcast episode, you hear an intro that mentions self-connection, deep self-connection. And today, I want to dive deeper into it. It's so amazing to do this work. And I have truly learned remarkable things over the last several years as I've gone through becoming a coach, having the career of being a coach, working with many clients, working with myself, doing the work to heal, helping others do the work to heal. And self-connection is one of those truly powerfully important concepts and skills that you develop as part of your healing and as part of the way in which you create the things that you want in your life. If you do not have deep self-connection, your ability to create the things that you want might be a little more challenging, might feel a little more out of reach. And on the way to creating the things that you want, it's going to feel a lot more stressful, a lot more painful. And so having a deep sense of self-connection is going to be really useful to you and will make it so that as you're going to create the hard things and you come up with obstacles, this is going to feel a lot better. You're going to feel a lot more grounded, a lot more self-assured, and a lot more connected, which is what we all truly want. And we talked a little bit about this when we talked about emotional needs versus emotional wants. Connection absolutely is an emotional need. And today we're going to talk about meeting that need with ourselves, not as the only way to meet this need, but a very important and powerful way to meet this need, deep, deep self-connection. So we're going to begin with talking about why is lack of self-connection a problem. So if you're here listening to this podcast, there's a really good chance that self-connection has been an issue for you in the past. Maybe you don't even know what that would look like for yourself. You've been spending so many years under narcissist conditioning that connection is this foreign idea to you. At least most of my clients feel this way. So why is lack of self-connection a problem? Number one, you don't know who you are. If you're not connected to yourself, there's a tendency for you to deviate or to drift from this deep knowing of who it is that you are. And remember, we've talked about this before about boundaries. Knowing who you are is really simple. It's about what you like and what you don't like. The things you tolerate, the things you don't tolerate. The things you want and the things you don't want. That combination of likes and dislikes truly makes up who you are. The choices you make, the desires you have, the feelings you have, the needs you have, the experiences you've had, the people in your life, all of it contribute to a sense of who you are. And when you're not deeply self-connected, knowing who you are is a little bit more challenging. Another thing that you might be feeling if you're not feeling a lot of self-connection is you might be feeling some emptiness. And you don't know why. I know for myself, I absolutely struggled with this sense of emptiness. And I really wasn't sure why I felt that way. It wasn't apparent to me for many, many years. I think I was in my early 20s, maybe mid 20s, before I realized what was going on. But I always felt a weird sense of emptiness. And a lot of my clients experience this very same thing. Another thing is that you don't have what you want in your life. Now, it doesn't mean that if you have everything that you want, you're deeply self-connected. It doesn't mean that if you don't have every single thing that you want, that you're not deeply self-connected. However, if you find that things in your life do not represent the things that you want, this might be something we could work on. A lot of my clients who are not deeply self-connected take a lot of crap. What this means is that they put up with things that they don't want to put up with. They take criticism. They don't have a sense of boundaries. They are willing to say yes to things they don't want to say yes to. You're taking a lot of crap if you don't have a lot of deep self-connection. Another clue is that you might be feeling resentful or bitter a lot of the time. Resentment and bitterness is a clue. It's not necessarily, if that's present, doesn't necessarily mean that you're not deeply self-connected, but if it is present, it might be a clue that something's going on there. You might feel drifty, listless, directionless. You might feel like you have no idea where you want to go or what it is you want to do. You might feel like you're controlled or stifled or a sense of powerlessness. You feel like your emotional needs are routinely unmet, and you might feel like you're dependent on other people. Maybe you have some codependence with people in your life. And deep self-connection is a way to deal with a lot of these things that we've talked about. So what is deep self-connection? What does it actually mean? Self-connection is a total satisfaction of self. In other words, you don't need anyone or anything to feel complete. You might have someone or things in your life that add to your life, but you're not in desperate need of those things in order to feel complete. Self-connection is truly a collection of thoughts and beliefs about yourself. Things like, I am enough. I love me. I am worth it. I have infinite worth. I have infinite value. My needs, my wants are perfect, and I provide them and/or they are provided for. You have a sense of self-love. You have a sense of full allowance of self to exist. A full allowance of self to exist. That means you're not dumbing yourself down, making yourself small, watering yourself down in order to make other people feel more comfortable around you. You have a full sense of allowance of yourself to exist. Now, it doesn't mean you're not thoughtful of other people or you're not considerate of other people. It just means you feel a deep sense of safety to be able to exist as your full self in the world. You have an awareness, a sense of responsibility for your own needs because you know what they are. You know what your needs are. You know what your wants are. You know how to get them because you're deeply self-connected. And sometimes you ask for help. Sometimes you don't. Either way, your needs get met, or you're able to go a little while with needs not being met because you have other needs that are met. It's not a constant sense of got to make sure all my needs matter all the time, because sometimes our needs aren't going to be met 100% of the time, even by our own selves. And that's not a problem. That's okay. It's an understanding of yourself. It's a compassion for your imperfections. You're not punishing or forcing yourself. You stand up for yourself. You advocate for yourself. You deeply think and consider things, searching your soul, searching who you are. It's an understanding of who you are as distinct from others around you. So knowing yourself, what you like, what you don't like, what makes you happy, what lights you up, what you want to do with your life, your favorite food, favorite color, favorite music, music you like, things you like, all of those things, that is an unfolding. I don't want you to think, well, there's a point in my life in which I understand every single thing about myself and I can finally say that I'm deeply self-connected. No, that's not what I mean by that. It's a gentle unfolding throughout your entire life. And I don't want you to look at yourself and think, oh no, I'm not deeply self-connected. There's something wrong with me. I've got to fix it as fast as possible. No. Instead, notice where there might be some gaps. Notice where there might be some room for exploration about yourself. And go on a fun journey. Go on a fun journey to explore those things. out of a sense of fun and enjoyment, a sense of what more can I discover today about myself? How fun is that? As opposed to, I've got to find and uncover every little thing in order for me to feel like I can be deeply self-connected. So be very careful of that. Sometimes our narc train brain tries to get us all caught up on all of that. So that's not what we're trying to do here. So as the self, you are an entity deserving of all of your needs. You are not a servant to feeling better or to controlling others. There is no hustling or self-pressure. And maybe there has in the past. Maybe there is still happening today. That's okay. There's no hustling or self-pressure to get rid of the hustling and self-pressure, right? I have so many clients. We work on things like self-hatred. That's one of the things that some of my clients struggle with. And I know exactly what that's like. I've been there. And one thing that happens is like this feedback loop of, oh no, I hated myself again. I hate myself for hating myself, right? And I always tell them, the first thing you got to do is have compassion for yourself for hating yourself. Tell yourself it's okay that you hate yourself for a second. Obviously, the goal is that we eventually choose not to hate ourselves entirely. But if you're hating yourself for hating yourself, then the first step is to have compassion and be okay with the fact that you hate yourself for a second. And that undoes that pattern. It gets you out of that feedback loop. So if you find that you've been hustling or pressuring yourself a lot, and then you find that your brain's like, all right, I got to hustle and self-pressure to stop hustling and self-pressure. Take a deep breath, put your hand over your heart, and feel that compassion and okayness with who you are right now, with what you're doing right now. Because listen, you guys, myself included, all my clients have had years, if not decades, of narcissist training, conditioning, abuse, survival mechanism necessitating, requiring you to do these things, right? So of course, your brain is going to be in this mode of thinking, and it's not going to be easy to suddenly switch it off. So all of this work is about noticing. It's about just seeing, becoming aware, attempting to apply as much compassion as possible as you're noticing these things. And as you do that, it'll continue to gently unravel. And the habits of self-punishing and pressure and pushing yourself and abandoning yourself will slowly start to recede. We don't want to be in a rush here. We don't need to be in a rush. When you feel deeply self-connected, you have confidence. You have an awareness of the state of your body. You know what you're feeling. You know the creature of your body. And what I mean by that is the physical sensations in your body at any given time. You know how to connect with that. Sometimes with my clients, I've had it where we will work through some thoughts. We'll work through maybe a very stressful event that happened in their life with the narcissist in their life. And especially when we're starting out those first few sessions, when we work together, there's a little bit of resistance or a sense of unsureness, I guess is the word, when I help the client try to connect with their state of body, try to connect with the sensations that's happening in their body. And they're just not used to it. They're not used to, okay, what is my heartbeat doing? Okay, what is my breath doing? All right, what does it feel like? Where is the heat? Where is the tension? What is the sensation there? They aren't used to that. And so it's a little bit of a practice, and especially in the beginning when we work together, to get this awareness of the state of your body. And that is part of deep self-connection. That awareness is what's happening in your body, in the sensations. A deep self-connection also can include an appreciation of the miracle of the self. You are a miracle. Did you know that? It's true. Whether you're religious or not, I love the word miracle, but whatever word you like to use instead, I really love this concept that you are a person who has thoughts and feelings and emotions that sees out of your eyes. The only person that sees out of your eyes, the only person that has the experiences you have, that can hear the thoughts that are happening in your mind, that can see the memories that come up when you remember things, that has specific kinds of imagination, that has a specific way of speaking. Did you know that your voice is unique? Your voice is unique. No one has the exact tone of your voice. Maybe if you're a twin, there's that. But even then, there are slight variations. No one has your fingerprints. No one has the way you respond to certain things. You are a very unique individual You're the only one that's ever lived, and you'll the only when you die, you'll be the only one that has ever lived. That's you. It's truly miraculous, and you're just so unique. And your uniqueness is part of what makes you you. And the fact that you experience yourself as a self is a total miracle. It's truly remarkable. I sometimes get lost in that feeling, in that thought process, because it's so existential, you know, but it's real, right? I think, therefore I am. That's a famous philosophical quote, right? And also a Billie Eilish song. But it's true though. Really understanding the miracle of the self is a great way to build deep self-connection. Self-connection is also a connection to the whole self. So I mean the good and the bad, the ugly and the pretty, the feel-good emotions and the painful emotions. When you are deeply self-connected, you are able to see, acknowledge, accept the entire picture of yourself. Because we all have parts we're not necessarily proud of. We all have parts about us that we wish wasn't our reality, but it is. And we all have parts of us that maybe we're proud of or that we think are good. And regardless of how we think about those things, if you're deeply self-connected, you can see all of those things about yourself and be connected to it. You may not feel total unconditional love yet for all the good, the bad, the ugly of yourself, but you feel connected to it. You are aware of it. You're not avoiding it. You're seeing it for what it is. And listen, I have struggled with this concept for many years. I completely understand if this is not something that's available to you right now, but it's really a practice. Like I said, it's an unfolding. And as you continue to practice, you'll get better and better at it. So keep listening to this episode over and over again. Unconditional self-love absolutely is the goal here in a lot of the work that we do. When you feel unconditional self-love for yourself, that is how you know you're deeply self-connected, and plus all the other things I talked about. So how are we connected to ourselves? There's actually several ways in which we can connect to ourselves. I kind of hinted about this earlier, but there's lots of ways to connect to yourself in a deep level. My favorite way, among others, is to be spiritually self-connected. I like spiritual self-connection because you are exploring your highest self. You are connecting with what that would look like, what your full potential would be. You connect with God, with, you know, source, with the universe. I think connecting on a spiritual level to yourself, connecting to your future self, connecting to the version of yourself you're creating, the version of the self you want to be, that to me is like a guiding light. It's such a sense of hope, at least for myself. I really appreciate this particular self-connection because if I can connect to that version of myself, to my highest self in the present, then what I'm working to create is that much closer to me. And I feel so much hope that what I want is absolutely on its way, that who I am becoming is absolutely happening. Because as we're on our way to creating the things that don't exist yet, as we're on our way to creating an amazing postnarc life, it's going to be bumpy. There's going to be failures. There's going to be things that aren't going to make sense to you. And when you can connect with your spiritual side, you can spiritually connect to your future self, whatever that looks like for you, it's going to bring you a lot of hope and sustain you through the tough times. So again, we mentioned this earlier, physical self-connection means a body awareness, an awareness of what your needs are, an ability to meet those needs, an awareness of the sensations that are happening in your body, an awareness of what your body looks like, and loving your body as it is. Physical self-connection, maybe you learn how to feed yourself better. Maybe you learn how to exercise. I'm certainly in that state of mind right now. I'm learning how to feed myself better. I'm learning how to move my body. I've been working with a coach for almost a year now, which has been truly amazing. And one of the things that we discovered in our work together is that movement for me is paramount. Movement is absolutely a priority in my life. And I've spent my whole life stifling the need to move. I was recently diagnosed with ADHD, and ADHD brains need to move a lot of energy in their brains and in the body. And as a girl growing up in the 80s and 90s, when ADHD was not something they studied or were necessarily aware of for little girls, and especially with the intense need to people please and to be a high achiever and make all the good grades and be the good girl in school, right? All those things were working together. I spent a lot of my time and energy and focus forcing myself to stay still, forcing myself to do the job and to perform in the way that I needed to perform instead of appropriately moving my body. And it got me into some habits that made it so I wasn't moving like my body needed. And how that showed up for me, my brain would just ruminate. My brain would be full of thoughts racing, and they needed to be expressed. They needed to be moved out. All of that energy showed up in my brain as thoughts as opposed to processing through my body. And as I've been building the practice of being more active, it's truly made so much difference. In fact, I got a standing desk recently for my birthday this year. Birthday was in August. This standing desk is truly changing my life. The fact that I can be standing while coaching, while doing my work, being able to move when I need to, being able to bend my knees, being able to maybe do a squat if I need to, because sometimes it doesn't need to be a full workout session in order for me to be able to move. It just needs to be little micro movements, just like a little plié here and there. Maybe I do a down dog pose while in between calls. Maybe I quickly take a lap around my house. Whatever I need to do, it's so much easier now that I have a standing desk. And I can focus better. I'm so much more productive when I'm working. I'm able to get work done. It's great. It's just a miracle. So physical self-connection is definitely an unfolding process with myself as well. And it's a beautiful thing that I'm seeing so many benefits from. Emotional self-connection is an awareness of your emotions. It's a practice of processing your emotions, learning to feel those emotions when they come up, learning to manage your emotional needs. This is, again, a practice. This is not, you're not going to be perfect at this. No one is. But the more you can practice this, the better that emotional energy can process through your body, the better that you can get a handle when big emotions show up, because they will. Big emotions are going to show up. And especially for narcissist trained brains, a huge emotion is grief. And in order to be able to process that out, you have to be connected to your emotions. You have to be willing to connect to your emotion. Sometimes you're not going to want to connect to heavy emotions like grief. I get it. It's not fun. But if the more that you do that, the less vulnerable you are to narcissist abuse, the more stable you can feel, the less likely you are to take action to avoid lots of things, the more likely you are to move forward in creating the things that you want, because you're not going to have as much fear because you are able to connect with your emotions and process the grief if you need to. Grief is the big one. So the ability to connect with yourself and others is also really, really important. Your connection with others, when you are connected to yourself, is going to be even more genuine. Connection with others is about connecting with them, and it's not about using them to manage your own pain or your needs. Connection with someone else absolutely is an emotional need that we have. However, what's really interesting about connection is that it's an inside job. There is no way for you to jump into someone else's brain and make it so that they feel connected to you in the same way that you're connected to them. Now, sometimes it is a beautiful thing when two people feel connected to each other at the same time. It's great, but there's no cross pollination there. There's really, it's a bunch of thoughts that you have in your brain, and it's a bunch of thoughts that they have in their brain. It's a sensation in your body, and it's a sensation in their body. And there's really no them jumping into yours and you jumping into theirs to create connection. Connection really is a decision, and you can be and feel connected to anybody at any time if you want to. I'm not saying you should feel connected to anybody at any time, but you can. It's available to you. So for example, I feel connected to my mom who's passed away all the time. I feel connection to her. And the reason I feel connection to her is not necessarily because, you know, I'm having these big spiritual manifestations. It's because I feel sensations of connection in my body. I think intentional thoughts about connection, thoughts like, I love my mom. I miss her. I remember this thing about her. I loved the way that she would say this word. I loved the way that she would tell me these funny things. She would be funny about this thing. I love the way that she would love, you know, my mom loved pina coladas, for example. And every once in a while, I'll get a pina colada in her honor or things like that. Things that she loved make me feel connected to her because I can love those things too. And I choose to feel connection in that moment. It creates a lot of healing for me. And it's truly special. And I have no indication that she's feeling connected at the same time. I have a belief that she probably is. I believe that people who have passed on to the other side are very much alive, but we just can't see them in the physical world. And I absolutely believe that she feels connected to me in those moments. Do I have definitive proof of that? No, I don't. It's a decision that I make to believe in that, and it contributes to my sense of connection, and it's a great thing for me. And it's something that I choose to do, but it's not necessarily what I necessarily recommend to other people. But if you're struggling to connect, let's say you want to connect with your narcissist mom and she's still here on this planet, or if you want to connect with someone who you love deeply, who you want to feel connected to, and they don't want to connect to you, right? They are not having thoughts or emotions about you that make them feel connected to you. You can still create connection to them. For example, when you have children, you can feel connected to your children without them necessarily showing you that they're connected to you because you choose to love them. You choose to love them exactly as they are. You choose to care for them. You choose to provide for their needs. You know their varying levels of capability. You would never require a child to prove to you that they're connected to you. That's inappropriate. You don't do that. You just decide to feel connection to them regardless of how they want to be connected to you. And that's how I recommend you connect with anybody, honestly. You don't necessarily have to treat them like children, but that way of connecting to them, I think, is the most rewarding way to connect with someone. So if you want to connect with someone, absolutely, by all means, do that. Just know it's up to you to feel connected. If you don't do this particular thing and you have a healthy person in your life and you do feel connected because they're giving you all the clues that they feel connected to you, that's perfectly fine too. I'm not saying that that's wrong, but when you're dealing with narcissists, they're going to take advantage of that and you have to kind of play by a different set of rules there. All right, so let's talk about what gets in the way of self-connection. So self-connection is hard for people recovering from narcissists and for people who have had narcissist conditioning for so long because they have had to develop specific habits in their brains that required them to survive, right? So I like to call this the narc brain. I have a 3-day training about this. I can connect that in the show notes. I'm really proud of it. I love that 3-day training. It's just full of gold nuggets. And I talk all about the narc brain. I love narc brain. Narc brain is basically the collection of thoughts, emotions, habits, beliefs about yourself that you had to develop in order to survive your narcissist. And it's basically the way in which you became the narcissist to yourself in order to protect you from the narcissist, in order to keep you as safe as possible. So yeah, if you have a little bit of narc brain, it's going to be a little bit challenging to connect to yourself. What this looks like is feeling self-hate, having a lot of negative self-thoughts, thinking, I don't know who I am, and feeling like you have tons of proof of that. It's unprocessed emotional pain that's hanging out in there. It's a desperate need for connection to other people before you connect to yourself, not even thinking you need to connect to yourself. It's solving for others' connection needs before you solve your own, because you're afraid of what will happen if you don't. It's a sense of always wanting to escape yourself and trying to find relief in other people. Thoughts like, no one cares I'm suffering, or why can't they see my pain, or he should value me and he doesn't. Those thoughts are thoughts that show up because you have been used to being in this vulnerable place of being taken advantage of having to abandon yourself for someone else's sake. These are all survival mechanisms: self-hate, negative self-thoughts, narc brain, not processing your emotion, trying to connect with others before you connect to yourself. That's all a survival mechanism. It's what you believed you had to do in order to stay as safe as possible in the heat of the moment. And if you're raised by narcs, or if you've had a lot of narcs in your life, there's tons of heats of the moment. There's lots of those. You might even be in a constant state of fight or flight. And if you're in a constant state of fight or flight, you're not going to be worried about self-connection, deep self-connection. You don't feel safe. You have to be able to feel safe in order to work on deep self-connection. When we were children, in order to survive the narcissist upbringing, the emotional abuse, we had to disconnect from ourselves in order to feel safe because we were threatened with abandonment, or maybe we were actually abandoned and we thought we could fix it by meeting that person's needs, which meant that we had to ignore our own needs. And by doing so, it made it so that that person would come back, that they would love us again. We had to disconnect ourselves because connection with ourselves wasn't safe, wasn't acceptable for the narcissist in our life. And standing up for what we like or standing up for what we need during that time was met with things like abandonment, things like anger, fear, jealousy, or other negative emotions that we just didn't have the tools to deal with, except to change ourselves. And by changing ourselves, it would make the negative emotion in them go away, which would then create safety for us. And this reinforced this faulty belief that we create the emotions in other people, and that somehow by doing that, we create safety for ourselves. This created a deeply held mechanism of lack of self-connection, because otherwise you were unsafe. So of course, if self-connection has been difficult for you, of course, this is your experience because of what you've had to do to in order to survive. And so we continue to follow the example of the narcissist by relying on others' validation to feel some semblance of connection. And so intense romantic relationships in teenage years or in early 20s or things like that, you needed to have someone to be considerate of your emotional needs, and you were devastated when they didn't. Ask me how I know. I know exactly what that's like. That's why intense romantic relationships can be so intense, because there's that desperate need there. And narcissists are so good at meeting that need for a certain amount of time to keep you roped in. And then they do all this other abuse against you, and you're in that desperate place again. And maybe you choose to leave, and you get strong enough to be able to leave, but then you're in that deep sense of need. You're not getting any emotional needs met. You don't know how to self-connect. You're devastated and feeling tons of loss and tons of grief. And your brain knows that if you go back, you're going to feel so much better. You're going to get all those needs met. You're going to feel loved and connected and all of those things. And around we go. And that's what it's like. That's what it's like in narcissist relationships. It's a total cycle. All right. So let's talk about how to begin creating self-connection, a deep sense of self-connection for yourself. These are some strategies, some to-dos, some things you can take away today and get started today to start feeling deep self-connection. Number one, process out the pain of emotional abandonment. If you are not self-connected, it's because you were emotionally abandoned as a child and you had to force something to happen outside of yourself in order for you to feel safe again. You've been emotionally abandoned, so you need to process it out. It involves processing out the grief. And this might be abandonment from the narcissist in your life, but it's also the abandonment that you did to yourself. Again, tons of compassion here. You did not have better tools. You did not have a better way to deal with this. So you're not allowed to judge yourself in this moment. But you need to see it for what it is. You need to accept that this is the reality of what happened to you. I mean, you don't have to. You always have a choice in all of this work. But typically, if you're in this situation, this is what's going on. And how do you do that? How do you process out the pain of emotional abandonment and self-abandonment? You go to what I like to do is I go to the last place that I felt like that happened. And I allow my brain to go to that place, that memory. And your subconscious brain cannot tell the difference between imagination, memory, and reality because it's behind our prefrontal cortex. Our prefrontal cortex filters all of the incoming data, and our subconscious brain can only perceive the now and the not now. It can only perceive reality or not reality. And so it doesn't fully comprehend the difference between imagination, memory, and what's actually coming in from outside of our senses. And so it's like, for example, when you're dreaming, you're having a nightmare, your heart is pounding, you're sweating, you have a bodily sensation to the nightmare that isn't actually real, but your brain believes it is because it's seeing the visual cues are still coming to the low brain. So I take myself to the place the last time I was feeling abandoned, and I allow my low brain to experience it again. And it brings up everything that it was feeling. The low brain has excellent memory in that sense. And instead of shoving it away, instead of making it go away as fast as possible, I just allow it to be there. I allow the grief, the pain, the frustration, the anger, whatever it is to come up. Maybe I have a journal right next to me and I write down all my thoughts. Maybe I just allow myself to cry, get all of that emotion out. I just breathe. I just be with myself during that intense period of emotion, and I allow it to pass on its own, because it will pass. It doesn't stay forever. If you're allowing yourself to cry and allowing yourself space to have that emotion, it'll pass on its own actually a lot quicker than you think it will. So that's one way to process out emotional abandonment. Another way to create self-connection is to identify and examine any of the disconnection thoughts that you have. So going back to what we talked about a little bit earlier, if you're thinking thoughts like, no one cares about me, or why can't anyone see the pain that I'm in, or how come they don't value me? Your brain is looking outside of itself for the validation, for the emotional needs that you're trying to meet. And if you can identify and examine those thoughts that create self-disconnection, then you can kind of see them for what they are, maybe make some new choices. If you need help with this, I absolutely can help you. I know how to ask you the questions to get these thoughts out, because they might just be lurking in there and you don't even realize they're there. But another way to do this is take a sheet of paper or a journal and write at the top, myself, right? And then all your thoughts that come out, the good, the bad, the ugly, get them all out. And really look at the ones that are creating disconnection for you. And there might be some that might be creating self-connection for you. That's great. Usually there is a mix of the two. And so when you see the disconnection ones, you can take one or two and just look at it. What does this mean? Why do I feel this way? Why do I think this? What is the evidence that my brain perceives that this thing is true? Write down that evidence. That's the thing about belief. Belief is seriously the number one thing that our brain needs in order to operate in this world. And our brains love to have evidence to be able to feel safe enough to believe something. And so if you believe that there's tons of evidence to support this one belief about yourself, it's going to be very hard to switch this belief. And so you want to look at the evidence, and then you can question the evidence. Right? So if you're thinking, I hate myself because my mom hated me and my mom did these and these things, you know, this and this to me when I was a child. Yeah, that means that I should hate myself, right? And it's like, okay, well, let's look at this. What did mom actually say? And why do you think she said that? And we really just dissect piece by piece. And then that starts to shake loose that belief about yourself. And then your brain will start to feel safe enough to let go of that belief. It's a beautiful process. I walk my clients through it all the time, and myself, and it's really great. And because changing beliefs should not, well, I don't like the word should, okay, but changing beliefs is a beautiful process that for sometimes can feel really hard, but it doesn't have to be hard. If it's hard, it just means we've got a little work to do, some dissection of thoughts and beliefs, some processing of emotions. So if the coaching work feels really hard to you, that just means we have some work to do. But the idea is that coaching should feel really easy. It should feel really, really simple. And if it's not feeling that way, it doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you. It doesn't mean you're doing it wrong. It just means, okay, we've got some work over here we need to examine. And we'll do that as often as we need to. And again, it doesn't mean something's gone wrong. It just means, okay, we've got some work. All right. So identify and examine the connection thoughts. Thoughts like, I'm not good enough. Thoughts like, people don't love me. Thoughts like, I hate myself. I don't even know who I am. If I don't change myself, they'll leave me. Lots of thoughts like that. Just start exploring that. Another way to begin creating self-connection is to spend some time with self-identifying things like your likes, your dislikes. Really start to experiment and have some fun with this. You know, so get out a sheet of paper, put some columns. What are things that you like? What are things that you don't like? I spent some time in my early 20s intentionally figuring this out. What is my favorite food? I didn't know. I honestly didn't know. What's my favorite color? What's my favorite music? What's my favorite way to eat an Oreo? There was just so many things I really didn't feel safe enough to have an opinion about or to know about myself. And I figured those things out. At the time, I believe that I put down that my favorite food was pizza. But you know what? That changes regularly because I'm always exploring new restaurants here in Houston. It's the best place to live for new restaurants besides probably New York City or, you know, some other international city. But it's great. I love exploring different types of food. And so that sometimes changes. But that is one thing that I love and that I love about myself is that I change my preferences a lot as I explore and as I discover more things about myself. So one favorite restaurant might become a completely different restaurant a few weeks later because I went and found this amazing new place. And I love that about myself. I think that's really fun and exciting. And I always get to experience new things and learn how to like new things. So go out and have fun, experiment, check in with your body regularly about what it is you like and don't like, and give yourself the freedom to change your mind whenever you want. You can really live your life however you want to live. It's really okay. Hand over your heart with your eyes closed. I love this little exercise. It's so simple. It's so easy. If you are feeling disconnected from yourself, a great way to combat that, to turn it around, is to physically connect with your own body by placing your hand over your heart, close your eyes, and ask yourself, what do I need right now? What is it that I need right now? It's a great way for you to connect to yourself. It's a great way to talk to yourself, to give yourself a chance to tell the truth, to give yourself a space, a safe space for you to be truthful. And then you'll be surprised at what comes up. Pretty fascinating. And if nothing comes up, doesn't mean anything's gone wrong. Maybe you try it again, or maybe that's not the right tool for you. But it typically works for me. So we talked about processing the pain, identifying, examining disconnecting thoughts, spending time with your self, identifying likes and dislikes, checking in with your body, putting your hand over your heart. Let's keep going. So more things you can do to create self-connection. Get coaching on your disconnection thoughts. Really get someone else's eyes and brain on what's happening in your brain. People like me who have been trained can see what you can't see. So if you need help, if you want help, coaching is available for you. That's what I was put on search to do. So let's go. Ask me for help. I'm right here for you. When you dissect those old thoughts, another way to create deep self-connection is to practice replacing them with new ones. So it's really easy with the old ones, right? The old ones like, people don't love me, I hate myself, I'm not good enough, I don't even know who I am, right? You can just turn those on their heads. I am good enough. People love me, but I don't really care if they love me or not. They're allowed to love me or not. People are allowed to love me or not. I love myself. I am learning who I am. Or I like this one. I already know who I am. I'm just discovering it. There's a deep knowing underneath all this narcissist conditioning that I am excavating as I continue to give myself more and more safety to know who it is that I am. Right? So these are thoughts that you can start from the negative thoughts and decide, what do I want to believe instead? In a perfect world, what would I be thinking and feeling about myself that I would love? It's a great way to find the new thoughts that you can start practicing. And listen, it's tricky. Brains do not like to change beliefs because it's not terribly efficient. They want to believe one thing and keep believing that thing. But once you practice over and over again, your brain's going to switch over and then you'll start believing the new thing and that will be your default. It puts up a little bit of a fight, but it's okay. You just keep lovingly over and over again, showing your brain that it's safe to believe these new things. I love myself. People are allowed to love me or not. That's okay. I absolutely know who I am. There's a deep knowing in there and I'm excavating that every single day. I am good enough. I love me enough for everyone. I am always worthy. I was always worthy. I just forgot for a time. Others can choose to love me or not and it's okay. What I have, what I give, what I am is always enough, no matter what. I have a purpose and I have a potential that is infinite. I know exactly who I am. Love those thoughts. So much fun to practice. So much fun to feel and believe. I mean, how does it feel to think those thoughts? I was always worthy. I just forgot for a time. I love me enough for everyone. Others can choose to love me or not. It's okay. How freeing does that feel? What I have, what I give, what I am is always enough no matter what. So grounding. It just feels so good to think those thoughts. All right, so here's some other things you can do to practice ways of self-connection. My favorite thing to do is take myself out to eat. I love it. I feel very connected to myself when I take myself out to eat. I mentioned this earlier. I go to new restaurants all the time. I try out new foods, or maybe you go to a movie by yourself. Take yourself out on a date. It's a great way to feel self-connection. Another way is to find out, what are your needs that aren't being met. It could be really simple things. Maybe you haven't showered today. What can you do to provide that need for yourself? Or maybe you're just doing so much that you just need to rest, and showering isn't really that important for you today, but it'll be important for you tomorrow. Something like that. Make a plan to meet the needs that you have as best you can, and do the best you can to try to meet those needs and get into the habit of meeting your own needs. Do you have enough clothes? Are you eating healthy things? Have you had a haircut recently? Do you feel lonely a lot? Are you happy in your current circumstances? Why or why not? Really just look at it. What's going on in your current circumstances that you're not happy about? And what could be changed or dealt with? Whether it be thoughts and emotions, or you can change your circumstances, either one. A lot of times in the coaching world, there's this belief that, well, don't change your circumstances, change your thought. We heard that with Megan last week, right? She talked about how she was really trying to force herself to change her thoughts about her circumstances. And then she realized, I just don't want to do that. I just want to change my circumstances. Because you're allowed to do that. Absolutely. Circumstances don't create your feelings. They never do. It's always thoughts. But it doesn't mean you're never allowed to change your circumstances if you want to. If you want to, go ahead and do it. Remember, intention is really, really important in this work. When you have your intention, that is the guiding light for you, knowing what it is that you want. And sometimes we have conflicting wants, because a want can be based in survival, or it can be based in highest self thinking. And you might have those conflicting wants at the same time, because one is based out of fear and one is based out of wanting what's best for yourself. And if you can get really clear about which one falls into those categories, it'll help you make the decisions that you actually want to make. Who are the narcissists in your life right now that you are currently disconnecting from yourself to survive? Maybe this is work that's a little more advanced and you're not quite ready to do it all, but at the very least, you can look at, okay, who are the narcs in my life? And maybe they aren't narcissists per se. Maybe they're just emotionally immature. Maybe they're just emotionally abusive. We can talk about how those things overlap on another day. But as I've said before, our work in this podcast and everything that we do together is not about calling people in your life narcs. It's just about identifying, okay, what are the tools being used against me? How am I surviving them? How am I disconnecting from myself in order to survive them? That's what's really important. Thinking, journaling on a regular basis. My clients do really well with that. I tend to process more out loud. Journaling, I absolutely use still, but my favorite thing to do is process out loud, usually with a friend or a coach, or just on the podcast or on something I'm recording. I like to be out loud. That's just me. And I also like to spend a lot of time in deep thought. When I'm really thinking and exploring, I feel really, really connected to myself. This is an opportunity for you to really discover who you are. What is it that you like? What is it that you don't like? Why don't you like those things? Why do you like the other things? And giving yourself permission and space and safety to allow the truest version of yourself to emerge. That's what this is all about. Deep self-connection is truly about inner safety that you can create for yourself. Maybe you don't know who you are. Maybe you don't know what you like yet, but at the very least, you can start with creating a safe space inside of yourself. And that looks like watching out for those negative thoughts, watching out for the emotions, watching out for when you get into fight or flight mode and you do things to disconnect from yourself in order to survive. Once you get awareness of those things, then you can start to work on them. And of course, I'm here for you. Join me in the work. I can coach you. I can ask you the questions. I can dissect all of these thoughts for you and help you on your journey to believing better thoughts about yourself. I offer one-on-one coaching right now, but later this month, it's still August, but when this episode comes out, it'll be September. In September, I will be offering a new way to work with me. I'm really excited about it. I've been talking about it here and there. We will roll out with it, get on the email list. You'll learn about it. It'll be a membership model where you'll get group coaching every week for an hour. It's going to be amazing. I've been wanting to do this for so long, and now is the right time. So if you've been wanting to work with me and one-on-one isn't your thing, group coaching might be your thing. It's very affordable. It's really, really simple, showing up to the calls in a group setting. And of course, if you are a current or former client, one-on-one client, you get access to this membership for free. It's included in the price you paid to work with me one-on-one. And if you decide to work with me one-on-one, you do get lifetime access to the membership as well. So yeah, we're starting the membership this month and we're going to really grow it and pack it with tons of value. I can't wait to show you what we're coming up with, but it'll be a few weeks. So just watch out for what's coming. It's very exciting. And I hope that you have a wonderful day and that you can take all these tools and create more self-connection with yourself today and create a safe place for you to feel deeply connected to yourself. I'm here for you. You can do this, and I'll see you next time. Bye.
Are you ready to take your postdoc life from dream to reality? I work with people just like you who've had to survive a lot of narcissist abuse and want to build things they never thought possible. If you want my help, I offer one-on-one coaching where we deep dive into your specific situation and clear out all the narcissist conditioning in your way so that you can start living the life you want. Feeling peace and setting boundaries? That is just the beginning. Go to laurabytheway.com to apply for your one-on-one coaching spot. See you there.